Well, today we're going to be talking about the Apostle Peter and looking at him and looking at his life and just looking at the witness of the Apostle Peter to the church and to the world, and looking at his proclamation of the gospel message. Now, in recent sessions, we've been talking about the Apostle Peter and what he had to say and what he had to teach concerning suffering. And we've seen that he has told us that suffering is common to us. Suffering is a part of the life of a Christian. He has told us that we are blessed when we suffer for the sake of Christ, when we endure persecution for the sake of Christ. He has told us that we are to not regard it as something strange, but to expect it. It's a part of our life as a child of God. It's a part of our work and life as a Christian and as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to be expected. As Jesus said, "In the world you shall have tribulation." But he went ahead to say there in John chapter 16, verse 33, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." He also said in John 10:10 that the devil comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So in our problems, we have the promise of God's presence. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." In our storms of life, we have the master of the storm, Jesus, that is with us, that gives us the grace we need to go through that set of circumstances. Now, so often when we face the circumstances, we feel overwhelmed. We feel like we just can't do this. But if we simply walk one step at a time by faith, trusting in Jesus, we'll find that He will be there to give us the grace to take the next step and the next step and the next step. And He will give us the grace we need to go through it. Now, God's design and desire is that we go through the storms. We go through the suffering. We go through the persecution. His purpose is testing us. His purpose is to grow us, to mature us as Christians and as children of His. It's the devil's purpose, remember, to trip us up, to cause us to fail, to discourage us, to destroy our witness. Remember, his purpose is to steal from us, to kill us if possible, and to destroy us, and to destroy our witness, our effectiveness, to destroy our families, to destroy anything he can about our life as a child of God. We are the arch enemies of the Lord of Satan. We are part of the family of God. Jesus Christ is our head, the head of the body. We're part of the body of Christ. And we will suffer because he suffered, because Jesus suffered. You see, the head doesn't suffer and not the body. The whole body suffers. So we suffer as a part of the body of Christ, and we're to consider it a privilege. Count it all joy, James says, when you fall into divers problems, when the storms are raging around you. Count it all joy, he said. Now, it's not joyful in and of itself. You see, if we talk about happiness, that's a response to the set of circumstances. That word happiness comes from happenstance in the English. And it simply means a reaction to the happenings around us or a reaction to our circumstances. Well, if we depend upon the circumstances for our happiness, then our happiness is going to go up and down with the circumstances. But if we get beyond that and depend upon the joy of the Lord to be our strength, then we can have the joy of the Lord as a fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, whether the storms are raging around us or whether it's calm. We can have the same joy inside us, the same peace of God, which passes all understanding, in the midst of the storm. So he, God, will supply our need. God will give us what we need. God will supply the grace we need to go through the storms of life. And in the storms of life, in the suffering, he's growing us. He's refining us. He's molding us. He's pruning us. He's shaping us more and more like Christ. That's God's purpose in our lives as children of God, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to work upon us, Romans 8:29, to conform us to the very image of Jesus Christ. That's God's purpose in our lives today. That's his purpose in your life. And I pray that you are recognizing that and realizing it. Well, Peter summed that up by saying, go through the suffering with patience. Endure the suffering with patience. Endure the suffering. Endure the afflictions. Endure the storms of life. And he said, be patient. Endure it. Stand firmly in your faith, trusting in Jesus Christ. And then his promise, of course, is that God himself, after you suffered for a little while, Peter says, God himself shall confirm you and strengthen you and establish you and complete you. What he's saying is that God will finally finish the work that he started within us, that work of conforming us to the very image of Jesus Christ. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing, isn't it? That we will ultimately be conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ. Well, dear friend, today we're going to be looking at the life of the Apostle Peter in a somewhat summary fashion. His teaching to us in 1 and 2 Peter, his teaching that we find in Acts is model teaching. It is right from the Holy Spirit. God used Peter in a great and mighty way, and yet Peter also denied Christ. Let's look for a moment today in beginning our message on the life of the Apostle Peter, a kind of a summary of his life. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16 for our start of today's message. Matthew chapter 16, and we want to focus on verse 16 of chapter 16. Now, in this situation, Jesus is walking along with his disciples, and he asked the question, who do people say that I am, the Son of Man? Who do people say that the Son of Man is? That's Jesus' question of his disciples. Now, let's point out that this is after a teaching of Jesus Christ, after his encounter with the public, with the Pharisees and so on. And while he's teaching, the disciples are out among the crowd. They're hearing what is said. They're hearing the conversations, the talk about this man, Jesus, who he is. So Jesus is walking along with them in the perhaps in the late afternoon. And he says to them, who do people say that I am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you, upon this rock you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not overpower it. Now, let me stop there. Jesus is receiving what Peter has said. Peter has proclaimed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter is dead on. He's got it right. He has stated it absolutely correct. Thou art the Christ, the promised one, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Oh, he's right. He's correct. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, Simon the son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So God the Father has revealed to the Apostle Peter and through the Apostle Peter for all the disciples to hear the proclamation of the truth that Jesus is the promised one. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Peter is used here. And let me stress to you that this is before Peter and the other disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. But here God reveals directly to the Apostle Peter, as Jesus says, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Peter, but my Father in heaven has revealed this truth to you, Peter. And you have stated it, and you're blessed because of it. So this is a wonderful declaration, a wonderful revelation on the part of the Apostle Peter. So God used Peter. Now, there were the other disciples, but he didn't use them to do it. He worked through the Apostle Peter. Now, we can speculate as to why, but it would only be speculation. In God's providence, he chose to reveal this wonderful truth of the ages through the Apostle Peter. So Jesus said, you're blessed, Peter. You're blessed of God. God, my Father, chose to reveal this truth through you, and you're blessed because of it. Now, we look at the Apostle Peter and say, oh, how wonderful it was that Peter proclaimed that Jesus is the Christ. Peter spoke the truth. Peter got it right. Peter, among the disciples, among the apostles, is the one that God chose to reveal this truth. Peter is blessed because of that, and that's true. But I want you to look just a little farther. Down in verse 21, from that time Jesus Christ began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. Now, Peter has just spoken the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter has been specially chosen by God to reveal this wonderful truth of the ages. But now, apparently, maybe just a few minutes later, I don't know. It's like, all right, now Jesus said, now that you know that I am the Christ, now that you've heard it proclaimed by through the Apostle Peter, that I am the Christ, that I am the promised one, that I am the Messiah, now you need to go one step further now and realize why I came, why I'm here in the flesh. My purpose in coming is this. And he explains it in verse 21. From this time, Jesus Christ began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised on the third day. Now, that is not particularly what they wanted to hear. Remember, they're not filled with the Holy Spirit yet, so they don't have the understanding that the Holy Spirit would bring to their minds and to their hearts. They're thinking simply, humanly speaking. They're looking for the Messiah to come and rule and reign. They talk to one another about the kingdom. They even talk to one another about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom, who's going to be allowed to sit on the right hand, the hand of favor, the position of favor of Jesus Christ when he rules and reigns, when he sits on the throne of David. Now, we know that all the people were looking for this. The scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the elders and the rulers of Israel were looking for the Messiah to come and to throw off the yoke of Rome and to reestablish the throne of David and to sit on that throne. They were looking for power. They were looking for deliverance. They were looking for a Messiah to come and deliver them and to throw off that yoke of Rome and to free them and to reestablish the glory of the throne of David. But they were skipping a very important step. Isaiah tells them about it, for example. The prophets have told them about it. But, you know, it's our human nature to skip over the things we don't like, and let's get to the things we like. Let's skip over the problems that we have to go through, and let's get to the blessing. Let's get to the good stuff, so to speak. That's our human nature, and that's what the disciples were doing. And so then Peter, now remember, Peter has just been used mightily of God to proclaim the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But now when he hears Jesus say that my purpose in coming to the earth is to suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and the scribes, and to be killed and to raise from that, to be raised from that grave on the third day. So they don't like to hear that. That's not what they, that's not a ruling and reigning Messiah. So Peter then now takes Jesus aside in verse 22, I mean chapter 16 of Matthew, verse 22. And Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Can you believe that? Now, Peter has just been used mightily of God to reveal this truth of the ages, and he's been told by Jesus that you have been selected through which this truth is revealed to us, to the other disciples. God has blessed you. My Father has blessed you to reveal this truth. You've been used of God. You've been selected, the only one on the earth to proclaim this truth. You're blessed, Peter. So here, Peter is used of God. None of the other disciples were told this. Peter had to tell them, you see. But now, just apparently, maybe minutes later, it's the next thing here in the scripture. When Jesus tells them why he's here on this earth in human form, to go to the cross, to be killed, to be crucified on that cross, to shed his blood, to lay down his life, to pay for the sins of mankind, they don't want to hear that. They want to hear him say, I came to establish the throne of David. I came to throw off the yoke of Rome. I came to sit on the throne of David, to rule and reign, to set the people free, to set Israel free, to reestablish the glory of the rule of David. That's what they want to hear. But that's not what Jesus says. He could have said, now wait a minute. After this happens, there will be a future time when I will return, and I will at that time establish the throne of David. I will return as the conquering king, and I will reestablish the throne of David. I will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years from Jerusalem, from the throne of David. But that's in the future. What must happen now is that I go to the cross. That's the reason I'm here in human form. That's the reason I came as a man, born of the Virgin Mary. But they don't really want to hear that, and Peter doesn't want to hear that. And Peter takes Jesus aside, and he begins to rebuke him. Now, can you believe that Peter has the audacity to rebuke the Christ? And say, oh, no, what you've spoken, that can't be true. We can't allow that to happen, Jesus. And in verse 23, Jesus turned and said to Peter. Now, he's addressing this to Peter because this has come out of the mouth of the Apostle Peter. But Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but on man's interest. So Jesus rebukes Peter. and rebukes Satan, who is now working in Peter and through Peter. So it's interesting to me that here in the life of the Apostle Peter, now this is before Peter writes 1st and 2nd Peter. This is before Jesus has gone to the cross. This is before the disciples are indwelt by the Holy Spirit in a permanent way. This is before Pentecost. So Peter is operating in his humanity. He's used, first of all, mightily of God, but then he is used of Satan. Oh, I think there's such an important thing here for us to look at. None of us are above being used by Satan. Any one of us can be used mightily of God to reveal his truth, and then a moment later we can be used of Satan to reveal Satan's lie. None of us are above that, my friend. We need to recognize that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8, 9, and 10, John speaks, the Holy Spirit speaks there through John, about the person who says he is without a lying or doesn't tell a lie is just not true. A person who says he's without sin is a liar, John says. The Holy Spirit says. We've all sinned. We all sin, not because we want to, but because sin is within us. Our old nature is within us. None of us are above being used by Satan or one of the demons of hell if we allow that to happen. And Satan is so crafty, the demons are so crafty, that they can slip it in on us and we're almost unaware of it. We may be totally unaware of it. That we're doing the work of the devil, that we're making a statement of the devil. But James tells us that where there is strife, where there is jealousy, where there is envy, where there is strife among the brethren, he says that's earthly, natural, and demonic. He says that which is from above is first pure and gentle and peaceable. My friend, if there is strife in the church, that's from the devil. If there's jealousy and envy within the church, among members of the church, that's of the devil. We can so quickly and so easily allow ourselves to be an instrument of the devil, instrument of demons of hell, even a moment after we may have been used mightily of God to do his work and to proclaim his truth. We need to recognize that, and we need to be on guard against that. As Paul writes to Timothy, we need to be alert. We need to be alert. We need to be of a sober spirit, and we need to be alert and on watch and on guard. We need to have our armor on so we can fight the battles of life against the devil and the demons of hell. We need to be on alert for the ways of the devil and the wiles of the devil. He's around us, and he's on us, and he's working through us if we allow that to happen. So here today, I want us to look seriously at the life of the Apostle Peter. This is before he's empowered by the Holy Spirit. The writer of 1st and 2nd Peter is a very different person than we see here in Matthew chapter 16. Peter at this point is an apostle. He's used mightily of God to reveal this truth about Jesus. And then he's used by Satan to try to dissuade Jesus and to get him off of the purpose for which he came into this world. So Jesus rebukes Peter. And he rebukes Satan, who is speaking through Peter at this particular time. And he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He's very clear about that. Get thee behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. Now, it almost seems to me that Jesus, first of all, he turned and said to Peter, verse 23, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, who's he addressing? He's addressing Peter, but more importantly, he's addressing the one who is speaking through Peter at this point. That is the devil, the Satan. And then he says, you are a stumbling block to me. That may be Satan. It may be Peter. Satan is certainly a stumbling block, but Peter is allowing himself to be used as a stumbling block right now. And then he says, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. Now, it seems to me like that's more toward Peter than it is Satan. For Peter, you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's interest. So I believe Jesus is addressing both Peter and Satan here. He's rebuking Peter for allowing himself to be an instrument of the devil, and he's rebuking the devil for being the stumbling block or attempting to be the stumbling block to Jesus Christ. Now, fortunately, in Peter's future, there is the restoration. There is the empowering of the Holy Spirit. There is a Peter that's very different. In Acts, we see even Peter getting to the point where he's the one who proclaims the messages. In Acts chapter 2, 3, and 4, we see Peter as the leader of the apostles. We see Peter as preaching the word. We see Peter speaking with boldness that this is the Christ. This is the Christ. And in him and in him alone is salvation. There is no other name, Peter says, among men whereby we must be saved, except through this man, Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, he said. But God raised him from the dead, and he lives today at the right hand of the Father. So Peter is both an instrument of God and an instrument of the devil. Now, there's another instance too, you see. Remember that Jesus said to Peter, Satan has asked to sift you. Satan has asked permission to sift you. And I have granted him the permission to sift you. But, Peter, I prayed for you. I prayed for you. Now, Peter's sifting occurs at the time of Jesus' arrest. He is given the opportunity to say, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, or no, I'm not a follower of Jesus Christ. In other words, to deny him. And he fails at this point. I'll go to Luke. Luke chapter 22 and verses 54 through 62. And we'll have time just to do this, and we'll have to talk about it more later. But in Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 54. Jesus has been arrested, and he is there probably around 1 o'clock, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, well after midnight and before daybreak. And Jesus has been arrested and taken down into Jerusalem, and he's been taken to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest. And Peter is following. Now, remember that when Jesus was arrested, Peter drew out the sword and he cut off the servant's ear. He was going to defend Jesus. He was going to keep this from happening. Well, again, Jesus was pointing out to Peter to put that sword away. That's not the way, Peter. That's not the way. You're thinking as a man, Peter. You're not following God's will. This must happen. This is the reason that I came. Peter had a hard time accepting that. I think probably I would have too had I been there. You know, we don't want to see you crucified. We don't want to see you arrested and brutalized and then killed. But that's exactly what happened in the life of Jesus, and that's the reason he came. to go to the cross, to suffer, to bleed, to die, to pay sin's debt for you and me. Now, in that process, Peter denies Jesus three times. Now, Jesus had said to Peter, Satan has asked to sift you, and I've granted him permission to do that, but I've prayed for you, Peter. Now, notice that in Jesus' prayer for him, it did not keep him from the temptation. It did not keep him from failing, for he denied Jesus three times. So the prayer has to come into play later. That prayer results in the restoration of the Apostle Peter. And we read about that in the last chapter of the Gospel of John, where Peter is restored as an apostle. He denies Jesus three times, and he three times affirms his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll have to talk about that in our next session together. But let's remember, the lesson for today is that anyone can be used of God if he will surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ to permit himself to be used of God. But also, anyone can be used of the devil if we allow that to happen as well. So we need to be on the alert. Jesus came to go to the cross, and that's what he did. And for that reason, we praise him today. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel. Thank you for being a part of this time together today.